You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night, on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you may be, however you might be listening, welcome to Fight Night. This is Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EddieExperience1E in the middle. And joining me this week, in person, might I add, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger.
That's right, Eddie. I wanted to be a part of Wednesday Warfare so bad in person that I had to come in here, especially after last week when I'm over here listening to you and Justin and Stu talk about Ring of Honor, the final battle. So
you got a little jealous.
I'm sure you watched it. What did you think of the final battle?
I was hoping for
it doesn't matter what you think, Eddie. This is not a wrestling show. This is an MMA show, okay?
So we can't talk about Vince McMahon bringing back the XFL?
We're not talking about that. We're going to let Stu. Okay. Stu will be talking about the XFL.
Stu will talk about that
after this.
Yeah.
But, Eddie, it's a, you know, I don't know if I've actually seen you since you slapped my chest.
And I feel sorry for you missing out on all this.
I mean, it's been a rough little bit. I've been in Canada. I've been home. There's just so many things going on. But I'm glad, Eddie, that I'm back. And I'm glad that we can finally talk about some fights, and it's almost the last fights of the year. We are just a few days away from Christmas. We've got Christmas coming up on Monday. So first off,
I got a little more shopping to do.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it, we're going to get into a little bit about what your Christmas wish is. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll get there later.
But you know what? What I did do this weekend? Star Wars.
Don't talk about it.
I can't pull a Colby Covington.
You cannot pull a Colby Covington. I will walk out right now. I have gone off Twitter. I am not getting on Twitter because I do not want to be spoiled. I heard that Colby Covington was spoiling things.
Yeah.
What a terrible person. Let's just put that up first.
And we thought he was a POS in the first place, but it's just a jerky kind of thing. This is like, some people say this is the worst thing he's done this whole time.
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea what he said.
Let me tell you, I got this from a 9-year-old from the last movie. You know, I pick up my friends at the airport. They went and saw the movie when they were in California.
Now, don't spoil it for people. I know it's 2 years old, but still, I don't know if the time
limit is. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen episode 7,
skip ahead 30 seconds.
Skip ahead about 30 seconds. Get in the car. Hi, Jack. Hey, we saw Star Wars. Oh, I'm going to go see that soon. Don't tell me what happens. As soon as he hears that, Han Solo dies.
Yeah, Drake did that too to my brother-in-law.
So all day Sunday, I was teasing my godson, saying, hey, Chewbacca has kids. Hey, the Ewoks grew 3 feet. Hey, Kylo Ren got eaten by a Tauntaun.
You are a disgusting, disgusting man. How would you do that to a child? So
he didn't believe me. He's too smart.
All right. Well, that's good, Eddie. So there was fights. There was fights on Big Fox this weekend.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah. Exciting. And so I got a text from some people asking me, hey, Robbie Lawler, Rafael Dos Anjos, is that worth watching? Mike Perry, that guy seems a little crazy. I said, yes, he is. He's definitely crazy.
And your answer in the most cursing you would do was something akin to, heck yeah.
Yeah, no, I said, yeah, it's a good fight. Anytime you get a good fight or a fight on Fox, and like we talked about last week, this fight originally, when you had Aldo on the card against Lamas, embarrassment of riches.
Right.
Lawler Dos Anjos, Aldo Lamas. You had Ponzinibbio, Mike Perry. We knew that was going to be fun. And then Glover Teixeira versus Misha Cirkunov. Those are all good, fun fights to have on a 4-fight card. Now, the ratings aren't going to tell you that it made a huge impact.
Right.
Having Aldo on that card, that wouldn't have made a change either.
It wouldn't have made much of a difference.
But it was a fun night of fights. And it all started, well, I didn't watch the prelim, so if...
Of course.
But it all started on Big Fox with Glover Teixeira, not getting that TKO finish in that first round. Glover Teixeira, he looks good. I mean, he's like the only guy that hasn't fought Daniel Cormier. And he's eventually going to have to fight Daniel Cormier, but not yet. We know that Cormier's got a fight to come up with Ozdemir. You got to think Gustafson's back up there.
Right.
I know you love the poster boy. You want Jimmy Manuwa to get a shot.
Yeah. But you know what? I ended up tweeting out the same thing 3 times Saturday.
Because it didn't work? Because you're learning how to tweet again?
No, because I do slack off on the tweeting. No, just because there were such upsets and surprises. I was like, who had Glover Teixeira winning by a first round finish? Liar. Who had Josh Emmett winning by a walk-off KO? You liar. Who had Rafael Dos Anjos dominating Robbie Lawler for 5 rounds?
I did.
Liar.
I did. I told you last week he was going to, and I picked him.
Not dominating.
Which is why I won last week.
You won. You did win.
I think we had one difference.
Yes, that one. Yeah. But the way that he dominated him.
Yeah.
That was surprising.
Well, let's wait. Let's get to that at the end. So.
Okay.
But go. Yeah. So.
Oh.
Glover Teixeira. What's next for him? Maybe someone like Manoa, who that would be a rematch.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, you know, maybe Gustafson, which there's all everyone in the top 10 though is going to be a rematch.
Well, would Gustafson take that instead of just waiting? Because he's basically got the next shot. You know, but you know, if you look back down the card, there were some great finishes. Alessio De Chirico.
How was that? Say it again.
De Chirico.
Oh, there you go.
I love that.
And that's great.
Beat Alawale Bengbose.
Bengbose.
Sweet knee. And Bengbose was he was bouncing around, doing his best Dominic Cruz impression. Lots of avoiding contact. And then Chirico finally got him in the clinch. Missed one knee. Second one got up there right on the chin.
Juan Marquez. Guy from Dana White looking for a fight. Or not, from Dana White 2-night contenders.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
That was a big win.
And then he challenged Tyron Woodley to a beard off.
Well, I mean, if you're not going to get the title shot, a beard off is just as good.
Yeah. And like the way this night went, he's not going to get a performance bonus either. May as well go for the beard off. I like him. He's got character. He can go far with that.
Marquez did get a bonus, by the way.
Did he?
He got fight of the night. Yeah, none of the main card did not get any of the bonuses. Marquez versus Darren Stewart got fight of the night. Nordine Taleb got a KO head kick. He got a performance of the night. And then Alessio Di Chirico.
Surprising not a fight that only goes like a round and a half, basically. Gets fight of the night.
Yeah.
But that goes to show you it was good.
It went back and forth. Hey, going back to Glover. Glover actually hasn't fought Jimmy Manoa. I had thought that they did. But looking out there, so I think even though Manoa lost on his last fight, I think you got to go Glover Teixeira. There's just not a lot of opportunities at the top of that division.
There aren't. And he's really not going to get a title shot in the next couple of fights.
Yeah. Let's jump down to Ponzinibbio versus Mike Perry. So I think we both picked Mike Perry. Mike Perry was going to, Mike Perry doesn't get enough credit. He wasn't even ranked in the top 15.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought that, you know, this was a good matchup for him, that he was going to bring the fight. And we thought that he was tough enough to withstand the blows of Santiago Ponzinibbio. And he was.
He was.
He definitely took those shots. He just couldn't do much. And every judge gave him that first round. And then it was those last two rounds. Ponzinibbio clipped him and then just kind of took over the fight from there.
Yeah, you could tell that Perry doesn't go out of the first round too often. He was visibly tired the second round. And that's when you knew that unless he lands that haymaker, it's going to be Ponzinibbio's all night. And did you catch the way that he kept calling him basically Pinocchio in the run-up to it?
Yeah, no, I didn't see that.
Oh.
But it was interesting, though. You liked that?
It's like he wasn't actually calling him Pinocchio. He was just mispronouncing Ponzinibbio so poorly. That sounded more like Pinobio.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was and that was a fun fight, though, too. Those guys are just slinging at each other. But Mike Perry, you know, Darren Till still wants to fight Mike Perry. It's funny. Darren Till still wants to fight Wonderboy, and he still wants to fight Mike Perry, a guy that is ranked first, probably will move down in the rankings when they're delayed or shown on UFC tonight.
Right.
And then he wants to fight someone who's not in the rankings. But it's interesting for Darren Till.
And what do they both have in common? Neither one's going for a takedown.
There you go.
Yeah.
He just wants to stand and bang.
Exactly.
So Ponzinibbio, his streak is now to 6 fights. He was asking for an opportunity to fight for an interim title. We'll get there, but he probably's not going to get it.
Yeah, you're not ranked high enough for that.
But you've got to think, you know, Ponzinibbio could be in line for a big-name fight. Give him Masvidal. Give him, the winner of Magny versus Condit. Hoping it's Condit. You know what I mean?
Condit and Masvidal, those would both be great matchups.
Give him those kind of fights.
Yeah.
So
I'm for it. Now, will they take it, though?
Yeah. All right, now, Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett misses weight. That's what's got to blow your mind. Not blow your mind, but just, like, frustrate you. That just makes me so annoyed that you have this great coming out party. And it's great, but it's a little bittersweet. Because now he has to talk about, hey, Ricardo Lamas, I'll give you the rematch. He can't talk about moving on from Ricardo Lamas. He's got to talk about, you know, making that weight the next time. So
right, but he's coming down from 155.
Mm-hmm.
Was this his first fight at featherweight?
You know, I don't know if that was his first fight.
Because even his Twitter handle still says Josh Emmett 155.
So are you hoping that it says Josh Emmett 148.5? I don't know if they make actually those Twitter handles.
Yeah.
No, so his last fight he fought at featherweight, that was back in October.
But and, he also took this one on short notice.
I did. He did take this fight on short notice. This is Aldo was supposed to fight Ricardo Lamas.
Yeah, from a guy who would normally fight at 155.
No, I get it.
taking what his second fight at featherweight on short notice. You think they would have given it to him at catchweight?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, if you agree to it, you agree to it, right?
That's what, that would be my thing if I was him. I'd say, I'll take it in a heartbeat, but I can't cut that weight that fast. Give it to me 150, and I will show you what I can do.
Or 148.5. So
hey, he tried.
The thing about Josh Emmett in this fight, he just brought it. From the very start of that, the bell, he was aggressive, and he was throwing everything he had in his punches. He knew that he, if he could catch Ricardo Lamas, he could put him out. And then finally, he slips, or Ricardo misses, he slips that right, and he comes back with that left hook and just puts him out. Thank goodness he didn't follow up on that, because that would have just been unnecessary and just more damage.
Very true. And we thought, being a Team Alpha Male member, that he was going to bring more wrestling to the table.
Didn't have to.
Not a bit. His stand-up was literally lights out.
So this
was like his tattoos. Man, those things were popping. He needs some sun.
You know, what this does now, though, it clearly cements Brian Ortega as the number one contender behind Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, yeah.
So if whoever happens when Max Holloway finally fights Frankie Edgar, you've got to think that Brian Ortega is the next person in line.
And because Holloway will have only defended it once, if Edgar wins, there's no immediate rematch necessary.
Yeah. You know what I'd like to see?
What's that?
A Lamas-Aldo fight. They both are coming off losses.
Mm-hmm.
Give them the fight. Let one of them get back on track. That fight was supposed to happen before.
Yeah, that's a rematch too, isn't it?
It is a rematch. Yeah. They went the distance before. That's a rematch that should happen because he lost. But Emmett is saying, hey, I'll give you the rematch, Ricardo Lamas, and I'll make weight. It's frustrating that he has to go and say that. But that happens when you miss weight. So
yeah, but he can just move on, though.
I don't know what happens with Josh Emmett. He's unranked going into this fight. I would love, actually. I mean, think about him versus
Jeremy
Stephens.
Well, if it's like the welterweight division, he should be number three now.
Well, that's not gonna. He won't be number three.
Right.
But think. How about Jeremy Stephens? Jeremy Stephens has a fight against Duhu Choi.
Yeah.
At they're the main event at UFC St. Louis.
St. Louis.
But maybe the winner of that fight fights Josh Emmett.
That's a good one.
That's a fight that, you know, there is a... I actually like that. Look at me matchmaking over here.
Look at you.
I like that one.
It's like you're all fresh and stuff being in the studio.
It's like, yeah, seeing you in person just like invigorates me, Eddie.
I am a muse.
I love that.
Soak it in, man.
Ooh, I mean, again, not a wrestling show, but I'm very excited for Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah?
Yeah. Alpha versus Omega, Jericho versus Kenny Omega, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
All right, Eddie, the main event, Robbie Lawler, which who you picked?
I did.
Against Rafael dos Anjos, who I picked.
I thought Robbie Lawler would be Robbie Lawler. He'd be coming forward. He'd be slinging hands all night long. He's the bigger fighter. He's a more experienced fighter. In every way, I thought he would have it, except for maybe the speed advantage. I didn't take into account were those leg kicks.
Yeah, that's really what it was. It was those leg kicks. Over and over and over again.
And he did not check them at all.
No, and that did a ton of damage. And it was surprising, you know, that he blanks Robbie Lawler, that Rafael dos Anjos, he blanks him on the scorecards because his cardio was better. And I think that the leg kicks did a lot to zap the cardio out of Robbie Lawler.
And you see how Robbie Lawler kept going back up against the cage.
Yeah, to help him
because
rest.
He could barely stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I had been Rafael dos Anjos, I wouldn't have just kept beating him up against the cage. Because then he can give his best offense. I'd have made him come back out to the middle of the cage where he can barely stand and see how well he can take my shots.
But at the end of the day,
hey, it all
doesn't
work.
Really matter. He blanks him. So
yeah.
Rafael dos Anjos is now perfect in his run at welterweight. He has wins over Tarek Saffiedin, Neil Magny, and Robbie Lawler. Those are impressive wins. Maybe the most impressive wins of anybody that's on a winning streak.
And that's how you climb the
welterweight division.
I swear, that's how you climb the ladder.
You come in there, and I mean that's a very quick, you know, quick run.
Yeah.
To the welterweight title.
It really is.
And you've got to think that when they release those rankings later tonight, that Rafael dos Anjos is going to jump Stephen Thompson, he's going to jump Colby Covington, and he's going to be the number one contender for Tyron Woodley's belt.
Yeah, I've never seen Wonder Boy beat Robbie Lawler.
No, you really haven't. And you look back, go ahead.
Ooh, that fight needs to happen.
Wonder Boy dos Anjos?
Lawler.
It could happen at this point.
It needs to.
Right?
Ooh.
But, yeah, anyone who's... There's no one on a win streak, an impressive win streak like that.
Right.
So we know Tyron Woodley had originally said he wasn't going to have surgery. That's when he thought he was going to be fighting Nate Diaz for the title. And now he's come back and said, yes, I'm going to have my shoulder, you know, had the surgery on my shoulder.
Yeah, now, do we have any kind of timetable?
You know, I haven't heard of a timetable just yet. But what that does is, and Colby Cumming can kind of ask for it, that opens up the possibility of having an interim title fight. And they brought that up at the in the post-fight show.
Right. So, to me, it could happen now. If he's going to have surgery, he's going to be out for a little while. I know he defended his title, you know, 3 times already. But if you're going to be sitting, things have to move on. Let these guys fight. They need main events. Let it happen.
Well, the real question, you know, he last fought in July. He defeats Damian Maia back in July.
Right.
It depends how long he's out. We know that there's fighters in other divisions. First off, that have never defended their belt. Okay, we'll give it to you. But
who shall not be named.
There's people that, you know, it is over a year if you don't defend your belt.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can jump into an interim title fight just yet. But, you know, it depends.
I can't argue with that.
The UFC, which is really, you know, it's not WMIMG anymore.
Endeavor.
Endeavor, that's right. They're looking to make money.
Exactly.
And putting a belt on the line makes money. That's why we saw Michael Bisping versus GSP 2 weeks or two a month ago.
That's why we had the interim featherweight title when we had it.
That's why we have all the interim titles right now.
That's why Cyborg's got a belt. She's the only person in her division.
We'll talk about her next week.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah, so if they do it, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world right now, seeing as he's going to have surgery.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't have to rush back.
So who do you do a title with? So Santiago Ponzinibbio, he asked for it.
No.
It's not going to be Wonderboy.
No.
And I know we hate to say it, especially after this whole Star Wars thing. I hate to say it. But I think you kind of have to go with Colby Covington versus, you know, Rafael Dos Anjos. But Dos Anjos, it says he's kind of willing to wait. But I don't think you let him do it.
As much as I don't want to, it's hard to argue, especially just where he's ranked, that it's not Colby Covington. Now, this will be a much tougher fight for him, though. Damian Maia, not much of a threat on the feet.
I mean, you think about Colby Covington. He has wins over Damian Maia, Dong Hun Kim, so it's the other stun gun.
Right.
Brian Barberina, and that's really it. That's all he has, Max Griffin and Jonathan Manure.
So one big win.
Yeah, just the one. The stun gun is not as big of a win as it used to be, but just that one big win. But honestly, like, you put a belt on a Dos Anjos versus Covington fight, you're not selling that fight anywhere. Nobody. I mean, that's an add-on to an add-on.
Right.
That is like a Fight Pass main event in Brazil.
But oh my God, the trash talking about the Brazilians will be on another level with a belt on the line.
Yeah, it could be.
Could be. Do you doubt it at all?
No, I mean, but his trash talk is just so terrible these days. You know, he's already been going after Rafael Dos Anjos after this.
Oh, I didn't say it'd be a higher level.
Yeah, well.
It's just another level. Down.
No, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you do. We'll see. I mean, you got to think that the UFC, if they're in the business of making money, I can't see how this sells. Like, this is a Fight Pass main event.
Like you said, in Brazil, yeah.
In Brazil, but I don't know if Colby Covington will even go fight in Brazil.
No, it could sell out in Brazil. It could sell out in Brazil.
Yeah, because they want
the right time of year.
People want to, like, beat him up.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
You might want to wear a bulletproof vest to the cage.
Yeah.
Does Reebok make those?
They might.
They might
have to start making it. So Eddie, that was UFC on Fox in Winnipeg, which I still can't believe they went to Winnipeag in December. So
just
cool.
Look at this.
But Bellator 191 on Friday night. Michael McDonald, Valerie Letourneau, both former title contenders at the UFC.
Yeah.
Both fought no names, and both won. So that happened.
Well, they had better.
You know, not very often do we see people go from the UFC, go to Bellator and be successful. Doesn't happen all the time. But when you give them tomato cans, you know, they can get it done. So
let's do it all the time.
There we go. All right, Eddie. So that tell us what's coming up next. I'm actually pretty excited about this.
Okay. I was able to recently talk to James the Texecutioner Vic. We're trying to get him on the Austin card for February the 18th.
Ray Borg's on that fight. Derek Lewis. They're not obviously fighting each other. They're just crazy.
That would be fun. Or not.
Not for Ray Borg.
For Lewis, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we talked to Vic about, you know, getting on the card, getting someone ranked above him to fight him, you know, how he's fighting his way out of poverty. So let's check that out.
Yeah, going to be a new father. That's right. So, Eddie, we'll come right back. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. We will be right back.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Joining us now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, UFC lightweight fighter James Vick, the Texecutioner. James, how's it going?
It's good, man. Glad to be on the show.
Oh, man, we're glad to have you. It's been a hell of a year for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, man. Three wins in the UFC, and this is the most active I've been, you know, recently in my career because of injury. So I've been healthy, and I've had a good year. I'm very, very happy.
And now the one thing that you haven't gotten just yet is the call to be on the Austin card in February. Any movement on that yet?
I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it. I can't get... Basically, I'm at a bad spot in my career. I'm at a spot where these guys don't want to fight me, but the UFC is paying me enough money that they don't want me to, that they want me to fight a top guy, but they can't get a top five degree to fight me. So now, right now, I've been on the internet, you know, on social media, Twitter,
trying to pick a fight,
trying to pick a fight, man, and they don't want to take a fight. So right now, I'm just trying to wait for a top guy to fight me, and we'll see what happens. I've been in contact with Sean Shelby back and forth a little bit, the UFC matchmaker, and hopefully he gives me some good news soon.
Now, you said after your last fight that you couldn't hold the gun to these guys' heads. But if you could hold a gun to the head of anyone aside from Conor or Tony, who would it be to get them onto the Austin card?
I mean, I was calling out Michael Chiesa the other day. Michael Chiesa beat me on the Ultimate Fighter. That was 6 years ago. So I've been trying to get that rematch for 6 years, and now he's really only ranked a couple spots above me. So I'm trying to get that fight. So if I could pick anybody, he would be the one.
Oh, that's a good one. Someone that might actually say yes.
And he should be available, but he won't take the fight. We've already went back and forth on Twitter. He's not going to take it, but he literally should be available. I'm like, I think he's looking at fighting now, potentially like 2 weeks after that card. He just don't want to fight.
Any backup choice?
Kevin Lee.
Another good one.
I would love to fight Kevin Lee.
That would be a fun matchup.
Kevin Lee actually turned down a fight with me a couple years ago, too. And I'm waiting for him to act like, for him to start talking crap on social media, but he really hasn't. Because if he does, I'm going to expose him with the text messages I have proving that he's already turned down a fight with me multiple times.
Ooh.
He did turn it down for sure. Before I fought at UFC 199, he was asked to fight on the card, and I got text messages from the UFC matchmaker saying he wouldn't take the fight. So that his camp didn't want to fight such a tall guy on short notice. So I've been saving those for a rainy day, but he won't even reply to my call outs on social media. So these dudes are scared of me, man. They don't want to fight. So I'm 6'3". I'm the tallest guy in the division, and I'm better than these guys everywhere. And they know it. And I've finished three people in a row. I've highlight reeled three people in a row. And I mean, the UFC is going to have to come up with something here strong on these people into taking a fight with me.
Yeah, it's like you can't just sit out the rest of 2018, you know? They got to do something.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they're going to have to do is, like, so Evan Dunham was ranked above me before this last win I had. And the UFC basically told him that if he wouldn't fight me, then he's going to have to sit out and wait. And he said, okay, I'll wait. And then he had to wait like an extra couple months before he got a fight. And he didn't care.
Wow.
They're not going to risk it.
Well, part of me says I can't really blame them. You are a big problem. And coming to fight you in Texas is even worse.
You don't fight, you don't make no money, you know?
Very true. Yeah, they're messing with your livelihood, huh?
Yeah, there's mine and theirs. I don't get it. I mean, are you that scared you're going to turn down a payday?
It's a new world, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
So what do you think is the state of the overall lightweight division? You know, Conor's been out for a year now. But part of that was the UFC's fault with the whole Mayweather thing. Now we've got Tony's having surgery. Where do you think the lightweight division is headed now?
Honestly, I have no clue. I don't know if McGregor's ever coming back. And I mean, no one can really blame McGregor, because if any of us were put in, I'm not a hater of McGregor. If anybody else was put in that position, we would all take the fight with Floyd Mayweather and make
right.
all that money. I mean, everyone else wished they had that opportunity. So I'm not hating on the guy, but I don't know if he's ever coming back. Or if he's going to come back within this year, I have no clue. And then Tony Ferguson, you know, he had the surgery. So I think basically the number one contender for me is going to be, I'm assuming, the winner of Khabib and Barboza, and then hopefully I can get in the mix somehow, you know, and get a top 10 guy to fight me, and I can, you know, beat the top 10 guy there in Austin, and then, you know, get a top contender after that, a top 5 guy after I get a chance to fight someone in the top 10.
So in a situation like yours, do you just have to kind of stay close to weight and stay ready so maybe you can catch something on short notice?
Well, I actually kind of halfway got offered something on short notice. It wasn't no guarantee as far as the fight. It was just, I got offered, would you like to fight a high-level opponent on December, or a high-profile opponent on December 30th? But I couldn't take the fight because I had a knee injury, and I was coming off a knee injury from the camp, doing the camp with Joe Duffy for that fight. When I fought Joe Duffy, my knee's been really messed up like a month before that fight. So I had to rest it, and I had no choice. And then now I just got cut. I have a small cut on my eyebrow as well from training. But I don't know who the opponent was, but that's kind of a situation that definitely will probably present itself this coming up year. But I shouldn't have to take a short notice fight right now. I should be able to fight in 9 weeks in my home state in Austin, Texas, is what I should get. I just need to get – they just have to agree to someone to fight me, you know?
Very true. And by the way, I saw that cut. It is not that small.
Yeah, it's a little big. I was wrestling, and I took my training partner down, and we accidentally clashed heads, and I got 4 stitches, and it's not the smallest, but it's not the biggest. So hopefully it heals up good and no more problems out of it later on, I'm hoping.
Well, I also saw that you got a new Jeep. How are you liking that?
Yeah, I did, man. It's good. Life is good, man. I'm fighting my way out of poverty over here, man. Doing all right.
Yeah, man, I love those Jeeps. I had a 4-door myself a few years back, and I loved it. I can't wait to get one again, but the gas mileage was killing me back in those days.
Yeah, I bet, back when it was $4 a gallon, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Radio doesn't pay that much.
First one, so hopefully the gas prices stay down low.
We've seen some hellacious knockouts the last couple of weeks. What did you think of Marlon Moraes? His knee knockout over Aljamain Sterling was kind of reminiscent of yours on The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, it was vicious. He basically just set it up. He goes to throw a switch kick, and he throws a kick, and Aljamain Sterling ducked, changed levels, went for a takedown, and the knee caught him right on the chin and put him out. That's basically the same thing that happened to me in The Ultimate Fighter. I went to throw a kick, and instead of the guy backing up, he stepped into it and caught the knee. So, it was vicious knockout. The knee is a very powerful weapon.
Now, lastly, I have been called somewhat of a GSP hater lately, and I don't mean to be, because, you know, I respect the hell out of him. You know, and what he did is make history. He's one of the greatest of all time. But it seems like he's kind of picking and choosing lately. He never wanted to fight middleweight beforehand. Then he sees what some people think is a flawed champion at middleweight, comes back, gets the belt, drops it, which most people thought he would do in the first place. Yeah. I don't know for sure that the ulcerative colitis is too convenient, but it's kind of convenient.
I mean, I don't want to say he doesn't have that. I'm sure he does, but I mean, either way, from a fan's perspective, I understand 100% where you're at. You know, the dude's coming back and he's fighting Bisbing, and people, I mean, of course he's coming. He really came back for the easier payday, in his opinion, and it turned out great for him.
Exactly.
But let's be realistic. Nobody thought he was fighting after that anyway. Nobody thought definitely didn't think he was going to defend the middleweight title.
Yeah, and Dana said he would be super pissed if he did.
You can look at it from that perspective, or you can look at it, maybe he's doing the other guys a favor by, instead of holding up the division like McGregor's doing, and he's just going to let them fight it out. You know, you can look at it two ways. But either way, I didn't think he was fighting once he came back after that fight anyway.
Unless he ends up fighting McGregor, I think we've seen the last of him.
Yeah, for sure. That's a possibility. Fighting McGregor and getting paid.
And lastly, I know you've got some folks down this way. Congrats on the upcoming baby. Boy or girl, when's it due?
It's a boy. We're gonna name him James Jr., and he's due in April 5th, I believe.
Oh, nice. So, yeah, that February card will be the perfect time for you. Then you can take the next couple months off for paternity leave.
Yep, that's the plan. I need to fight one more time for you. I get this expensive kid coming in. So hopefully I get to fight in Austin, and then after that, get to stay home for a little bit and hang out with my new son.
Oh, man, that'll be perfect. Now, aside from visiting, you know, friends and folks, what's your favorite thing about coming to Austin?
The food trucks are amazing.
That is a perfect call. UFC lightweight James Vick trying to get him on the card for Austin February the 18th. James, tell the folks where they can find you on social media.
Everybody, you can find me at James Vick MMA. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all three, James Vick MMA.
Now be careful, you will see an ugly picture of that cut on his eye. So if you're squeamish, scroll slowly. James, thanks for joining us this week. Thanks for being here. Good luck getting on to the Austin card. We're pulling for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. I appreciate the support.
Well, sit on down and tell me what's up with that. Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? He said, she said, we said, me said, what up with that? Who knew you knew, said what, who knew, what up with that? What up with that? Yes, sir.
Jordan, did you catch Saturday Night Live with the Foo Fighters and Kevin Hart?
You know, I've only watched the first and second sketch.
That's two more than me.
I'm guessing The Rock doesn't show up. I saw him in LA all week. I haven't heard that he showed up. I'm a little disappointed.
That is disappointing.
I was really hoping that, I think we were both hoping that The Rock would
Mr.
come
Peepers?
On there.
It's
Mr. Peepers' dad.
Yes.
So Mr. Peepers is Chris Kattan. So, but you never know.
Yeah. I'm so behind on my stuff.
Are you going to watch Jumanji? Does Kevin Hart and The Rock get you excited about watching the reboot of Jumanji in a video game form?
No.
Okay.
I would watch it on HBO if it came on.
Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not going to the theater for that.
All right.
I still need to see Murder on the Orient Express and Thor Ragnarok.
It's a great one.
Ragnarok?
Yeah.
I heard that.
Are you going to go see
don't do much for me.
Ferdinand?
No.
Come on, bro. John Cena? As a bull? Unbelievable.
Hey, man, I can't see him.
I'm all in on Ferdinand.
Or is your son all in?
We'll go see it. It's going to be good. We actually need to see Coco. I've heard good things about Coco,
too. Oh, yeah,
too.
I've heard great things about Coco.
So we'll probably see that over the holiday.
Creepy, though.
So, yeah, maybe a little bit.
A little creepy, yeah.
All right. let's do this.
Oh, yeah, the news. What is up with that? We now know what's next for Conor McGregor.
Or do we?
We do.
Do we? I don't know.
What's up with that?
All right, Eddie. So this week, last week, TMZ caught up with Conor McGregor. And there's been rumors going around. We know Manny Pacquiao said he wanted to box him. Paulie Malignaggi always wants to box him.
Apparently he's got two girlfriends now.
Who, Conor?
Yeah.
Oh, the Rita Ora. Yeah, we talked about that last week, too. But they asked Conor what's next. And Conor said, he said, I think a true fight is what I want to do next. And they pressed him. He said, a real fight. And then they asked him what he meant. And he said, MMA next. They also said, hey, what about WWE? To which he did not have very nice words to say about WWE. So I think we can see that he's probably not going to be winning the Royal Rumble.
He's like, I said real fight.
Yeah. But, he says, no, MMA next. And I know that you think, Eddie, that it's going to be Conor versus GSP.
I do.
I still hope that it's going to be Tony Ferguson or Max Holloway. I'd love to see Tony Ferguson. But did you hear about what... Faraz said, that's GSP's coach.
He would come back for a mega fight?
Yeah, against a Mayweather. That's not going to happen. Or McGregor.
Yeah.
So GSP obviously thinking on the same, kind of side and lines of Conor McGregor and you.
Tony Ferguson knows what's up with that. That's why he went ahead and had the surgery.
Well, he should be back in April.
Mm-hmm. And they'll probably have GSP Conor International Fight Week.
Yeah, I know you've been saying that.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, I would love to see him defend a belt.
I know Rod Babers claims to be Black Stradamus. I'm taking that one from you, Rod. Conor, GSP, International Fight Week.
All right. Well, you heard it here first.
That's right. Now, speaking of Conor, Showtime finally released official pay-per-view numbers and gate numbers for Mayweather-McGregor. Sup with that?
All right, Eddie. You ready for this?
Show me the money.
I wish I could. I wish I literally could show you the money. So it looks like it didn't beat Mayweather-Pacquiao after all.
You mean the real fight beat the farce of a fight?
Barely.
Thank goodness.
So think about that. Barely beat. 4.6 buys to 4.3 buys.
thought it was 4.4 to 4.3.
No, it's 4.6 to 4.3.
Okay. Million buys, yeah.
Million buys.
And now, then, see, if Pacquiao could talk more trash, they could hit five.
They probably could have hit five.
Yeah.
And then you go to the gate. The gate for Mayweather-McGregor was $55.4 million. The gate for Mayweather-Pacquiao.
That was with a bunch of NBCs, too.
Yeah, the gate for, yeah, there was. The gate for Mayweather-Pacquiao, $72.1 million.
So if they'd have sold all those seats, they might have inched close to it.
You know, they really probably could have. The problem was, and we talked about this before, they priced it a little too high.
Yeah.
It was really tough to get in there with the lowest, you know, price seat being at like $1,500. And that was, you know, you were lucky to find one of those seats, but most likely there was $2,000 to $2,500.
That's ridiculous.
So it's tough to get in there. So,
well, you know, they know what they're doing and it worked out pretty well for them. Still $55 million at the gate. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and Conor makes over $100 million and seriously contemplates, is he ever going to fight again? Like, I know he said MMA next.
Mm-hmm.
That's if anything.
That's if
anything,
yeah.
Unless Hollywood comes and they want to make him, you know, some offer to be in the next Fast and the Furious.
Right.
Could you see him in there?
I could. Although he'd be like the smallest guy on the screen.
Well, not in height. I mean, Jason Statham, I think he's pretty short.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But when you're standing next to The Rock.
Whoa. It's a major difference.
Now you got me thinking I want to see The Rock and Conor McGregor on screen together.
You imagine the trash talking.
Franchise Viagra and then a Notorious Conor McGregor.
The trash talking would be off the charts.
Oh, my gosh. It'd be amazing.
Now, the question is, does he need a training camp to kind of ground him? Because he's all over the place right now. Would you call it the Tyson zone?
Oh, yeah.
I think he's more in the Bieber zone.
What is the Bieber zone? And now, first off, Eddie, I'm the person that goes up to Canada, not you. I didn't know you were such a closet Bieber fan.
No.
Go ahead, though.
I am not. So, that's why he's got his own zone.
So tell me about the Bieber
zone.
It's
a D-bag zone.
Oh, come on.
It's more of a D-bag than an actual criminal thing. And that's where I think he is. It's like he's causing trouble, but he's not getting arrested. He's making headlines for doing stupid stuff, but he's not getting arrested. That's more of the Bieber egging someone's house, going 90 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour zone, leaving your monkey in Germany or whatever.
I don't know any of these stories. Thank goodness. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I used to work with EJ. When you went next to a Kiss station, you hear about all this stuff.
All right, I guess.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, that's why I consider he's more in the Bieber zone than the Tyson zone.
I don't like it. Tyson, by the way, Tyson
now, unless
tiger,
he actually did punch that mafia guy, that's Tyson zone.
Okay.
Or in this case, Ozdemir zone. Eh, what, you don't like that?
No, that was terrible.
Oh, come on. Give me a shot, man. Okay, so now we know, speaking of crime, what happens when two UFC fighters get into a boomerang fight down under. What's up with that? What's down under with that?
Yes. That's terrible, too. all right, Eddie. So a few weeks ago, we talked about Fabricio Werdum. He throws a brand new boomerang at Colby Covington
in
Australia. Did not come back to him.
Oh, see.
And it was still, I think it was because it was still in a bag. I
mean, or because he hit somebody with it.
You take it out of the bag, and that's when it comes back. But we knew that Werdum would have to go back to court. He'd have to go get in front of court and find out what happens when you throw a boomerang at someone else.
Oh, he said he was going to take his family on a nice little Christmas vacation?
He actually didn't show up to court, but they still figured out what the case is. He got fined $600 in Australia, which is about $460 here. So we all thought that Werdum was going to have these, this court issues and all these other issues. Turns out just pay $500 and you can throw a boomerang at somebody.
You know what? You know how many people would line up to throw something at Colby Covington if they only had to pay $500?
I mean, I think Brazil, just in general, Brazil would do that.
Well, maybe the rich guys. But yeah, exactly.
I think they'd pool their money in Brazil. They're like, okay, we can all do it together.
All right, who's got the best arm? Only got one shot for $500.
I bet you get someone to kick it.
Ooh.
Kick something at him.
Yeah, there you go. Put some spikes on a soccer ball.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, now, at UFC 218, Eddie Alvarez earned the UFC's Most Violent Man title, which I am still disappointed that there wasn't like a shattered belt.
The hardcore title?
Yeah.
The hardcore title version of the UFC belt?
Exactly.
I mean, let's be honest.
Take a hammer, smash it a couple times.
Tape it back together, have Mick Foley give it to him.
There you go. No. Anyways, the question remains, What's next for the Underground King? What's up with that?
Yeah, Eddie, we've been talking about this, that we wanted to see Dustin Poirier and Eddie Alvarez go at it after this fight. Or actually, we wanted to see Dustin Poirier fight the winner of Gaethje versus Alvarez. We know back at UFC 211, they fought to a no contest. Poirier winning the fight. He gets a illegal knee thrown at him when he's downed. He can't continue, and he decides the fight's over. So they ruled a no contest, right? He wanted that fight immediately rematched against Eddie Alvarez, and they gave Alvarez a tough coaching opportunity against Justin Gaethje.
Right.
Alvarez says, yeah, man, he quit. I could tell he was quitting. He could have gone on. He chose to quit, so I'm moving on. So the fight happens. Poirier beats Pettis. He says, I want the winner of Gaethje Alvarez. Alvarez beats Gaethje, who, by the way, Gaethje thinks it's a dream come true, getting knocked out to Eddie Alvarez, which I don't understand that.
I don't have dreams like that.
We can come back to that at a later point, but Eddie Alvarez has now come back and said, no, that would be a step back. He's not interested in fighting Dustin Poirier. Dustin Poirier is furious. He wants that fight. He wants that opportunity, especially after he was able to, after, you know, it was Alvarez who caused the no contest.
Right.
What do you think? I mean, and where does Alvarez have to fight Poirier next? Not have to, but should he?
I think he should. Basically, also, if you remember, the UFC lightweight division isn't really moving. So what else is his plan?
He says he wants bigger fights. And actually, he got into a little bit of an argument with Tony Ferguson online.
Well, T. Ferg's not going to be doing anything for a while.
Ferguson called him out and said, hey, I have the real belt. Of course, you have to make up some, you know, some fake violent belt. And then, you know, Eddie Alvarez says, I'm not interested in fighting you. Not interested in fighting the interim champion?
So you don't want the belt, so you just want interesting fights.
He says, why would I go
Poirier
for the silver?
Is one of those.
Why would I want the silver when I can go for the gold? First off.
So he's saying he wants Conor.
Conor's not going to come back and fight Eddie Alvarez.
Right.
There's not a chance that he's going to go back and fight Eddie Alvarez.
No, he already knocked you out. He's done with you.
He has no desire. If he's going to come back and defend the belt, it's not going to be against you. It's going to be against Nate Diaz. Right. I've also heard that Eddie Alvarez interested in a Nate Diaz fight. Of course, who wouldn't be?
Everyone wants the money fight. Kind of getting sick of it myself.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. You've got to think Khabib, he could fight. That'd be a good fight for Eddie Alvarez. Edson Barboza. Eddie, before you get to your last what-up question, I do want to tell you, we talked about Eric Anders, Lyoto Machida. That fight has now been officially made for Brazil, Belém, Brazil. So that's going to be happening soon. So,
well, sweet. Sometimes you just got to ask, right?
Eddie, I actually have a what-up with that for you.
Oh, what's up with that?
Well, it's Christmas.
It is.
What's the big ticket item in the Eddie Cross home? What's up with that? What do you want for Christmas, Eddie?
Well, you know, the sad part is I bought the big ticket item that I wanted myself, just out of impulse.
Okay, what was it?
It was a replica Houston Astros World Series championship ring.
Okay. Are you wearing it?
I am not.
Okay.
But I'll bring it to you next time.
Okay.
But one thing that I would want... This is a Norelco One Blade.
Okay. To shave your head?
To shave my beard.
Okay.
That's really the only thing I could even think about asking for.
Well, Eddie, for me, man, it's funny. My daughter keeps asking for a puppy. My 3-year-old daughter.
Really?
She asked Santa for a puppy. And I had to, like, with Santa, be like, hey, sorry. Santa actually only brings toys. Okay? So you think of something else. So
and I thought I was the Grinch.
I am not interested in getting a puppy. I'm kind of like you. I just end up getting those things that I want. So, Eddie.
Yeah, I'm not about cleaning up poop.
Yeah. It's been a great show. It's been a great year. We've got one more show this year. Great job with James Vick.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. We will be back next week online to talk about UFC 219.
Preempted by the Texas Bowl.
We will see you next week.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.